This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Good morning, Cardinal fans, and welcome to the latest edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinals fans everywhere, brought to you by our good friends from Two Birds on a Bat. That would be me, but happy to do this show as well, as I absolutely enjoy the takes and all the different takes that we get from our experts, our panel of experts, I guess, if you will. Enjoying these conversations each week as they kind of give us an understanding a little bit of, you know, where we're at with the whole process of loving Cardinal baseball and where the Cardinals sit and maybe sometimes the why. We're going to have a little fun today, though. You know, we'll talk about some Cardinal action, too. But one of the things that I want to do is try to compare a situation. I think Cardinals and Blues fans are making a comparison. And it's a fun conversation, so let's not take it too serious. But before we get to it, I want to remind you, too, we could not do the show without our friend Randy Green at InnovativeCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, and industrial, Randy's the man. He can take care of any of your needs. He's got the heating and cooling team, electric team, and, of course, the construction team. Always up and running and ready to take care of you. Happy to be involved with such a tremendous human being. He's 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman. And one of the main reasons we love being a part of that he wants to be a part of what we're doing and we want to support him is because he is a man of his word. And when he shakes your hand and looks you in the eye, it's getting done, folks. That's Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. So last night, there's a lot going on in St. Louis. Obviously, the Cardinals are busy getting it handed to them over at Busch. And there was this little thing called Game 7 going on over at Enterprise Center involving our Blues. Now, there's going to be a few of you out there that are going to go, I don't care about the Blues, and if you don't, then turn it off. Just turn the show off. I really don't. I mean, whatever. We're having some fun here today. We will talk about, get some opinions on, you know, the state of the Cardinals and on a few things. But the reality of it is I thought a fun question today would be Freeze or Maroon, who you got? Now, Cardinal fans are going to say, oh, it's not even close. Well, okay. It may not be. To some degree, because let's face it, this was the World Series. This was the second round of the playoffs. You know, you could argue the playoffs in hockey are different than they are and the battle, so to speak. But when it comes right down to it, I thought it was a neat thing because let's face it, whether you like the argument, don't like the argument, care about the argument, don't care about the argument. The only thing that really matters here is how cool is it for two homegrown kids to spend days in their backyard like we all did? And David Freeze, I promise you, now this was game 6, not 7. Doesn't really matter because he got another big hit in game 7. But how many games had they won in their backyards for the Cardinals and the Blues, respectively? If you think David Freeze didn't play wiffle ball or throw a ball up and hit it in his yard and do all kinds of stuff and feel like, you know, David's up bottom of the ninth, St. Louis Cardinal, but it's a long, you know, if you think he didn't do that, then you're nuts. Okay, and if you think Pat Maroon didn't skate around on the ice at practice when he was a kid and practice his favorite Deke move and he scores, Blues win the cup. If you think he didn't do that, you're crazy. Okay, so my point on the whole, I get goosebumps thinking about it because the reality of it is as close as it could possibly come for both of them, it happened. So I think it's an unbelievable situation and we as fans have gotten to enjoy it. So I just want to talk a little bit about the comparisons today. And then, yes, we will hit on some good stuff as well. And as I mentioned, all of our great partners to you, They bring you this show each and every week, and we ask that you support them. I want to remind you to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. It's absolutely free. You'll get a notification each time it's done. You can check out our Two Birds bloggers as well by clicking on the banner, Two Birds bloggers, at our website, twobirdsonabat.com. Find us on social media, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. If you're a Cardinal fan and follow us, we're going to follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook as well. That's Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page, click invite your friends. And of course, when you see the pinned post, like it, comment on it, and share it. You're eligible for some wonderful prizes. Compliments of M4byYachty.com. Our good friends, Benji and Yachty or Molina. Happy to have you guys do that. Because when you guys share it and do all that, it makes it so that we can get more people involved in our community. So thank you. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Follow us there. And of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. All right, let's get some thoughts from everybody's confidant when it comes to talking Cardinal baseball, all things Cardinal baseball, history, future, especially future. He loves prospects, but he loves to talk about Cardinals of the past and what's currently going on. And I bet he's got a theory on this. So let's welcome in everybody's favorite, Kyle Reese. What do you say, Kyle?
Hello, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. And interestingly enough, with our topic for today, you were at Game 7 last night.
Yeah, I've been fortunate, you know, especially for the topic we're about ready to get into. I was at Game 6, and I was at Game 7.
So I started off pretty basic. Now, this is a fun conversation. I've heard some people mention it because of the obvious similarities of the fact that they're local products. If you ask me to be honest about it, you know, it's the second round of the playoffs. It's not game six. You know, it's not, but hey, listen, it is facing elimination. And I thought that the coolest thing was both of these guys, when they were kids, probably envisioned this moment. Can you feel the comparisons, or do you think there's no comparison?
I think if you're looking at it out of the vacuum, there is not a comparison. You're talking about a World Series. But what the comparison, or I guess the part of the conversation that's really fun to me as a lifelong Blues fan, lifelong St. Louis City resident, who had, you know, those same dreams as a kid of doing what Pat Maroon did last night and what David Freese did in 2011, is, you know, it's just funny to think that it goes to show you the fan bases and where both fan bases are at. It feels like the morning after game six. It just feels like the morning after. And we're just getting into the conference final. And, like, it goes to show you just what we've gone through as Blues fans as compared to what we've gone through as Cardinal fans. You know, like, last night was a big victory, potentially the biggest victory in the history of the St. Louis Blues. And we're not even at the Stanley Cup yet. We're just in the that win got us to the conference final. And I think that it feels that way. It feels so grand because we, as Blues fans, have been through so much and we've had so much heartbreak. And I think if you just look at it from like that lens, where it helps erase some of that heartbreak we have. And it also goes to show you that, you know, as Cardinal fans, something like that happening in the World Series, like, we feel it then. But for Blues fans who have been through a lot more and haven't had a championship, and, you know, you don't go to the Western Conference Finals every year, although they've done it, you know, twice recently, to get there with something like that, I think that's like the more interesting aspect of what's going on here.
Do you have any feelings on the whole? There's a faction of Cardinal fans that feel like, well, we're suffering too, that kind of have forgotten about all those years of success. I mean, there are people out there that, you know, like I said, there's going to be a few people going to turn this off at the beginning of the show. I don't like the Blues. I don't want to hear about the Blues. I listened to, and it's like, okay, whatever, that's fine. Do what you want to do. My thing was, for the comparison's sake, I just like to live in that moment, I guess. And yeah. I get it, you know, and like you said, the biggest thing for me was that is what it feels like. Now, the cool thing about baseball is with the turnaround and things like that, I remember that next morning. I remember it like it was yesterday. And the coolest thing in the world for me was it happened. I was there. I saw it. I felt it. It's something I'll never forget. The story was incredible because of David Freese. You had that whole, again, if it would have been somebody else, it would have been an unbelievable moment as well. But it was just heightened by the fact it was David Freese. He was from St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
And then
The coolest part, though, was I remember like 12-12 the next day as we're recording this show. It is 12-12. I'm telling you, at 12-12 the next day after game six, I was downtown St. Louis getting ready.
Yeah.
I was at a bar.
Yeah, me too.
I was at a bar with 100,000 of my closest friends ready for game seven. Now, with hockey, you got the wait, right? Like, it kind of stinks. But the only comparison I'm making in the whole thing is the local connection, a couple of local kids that, let's face it, at one time or another, it ain't like both these guys were superstars, right? And to be able to do something like that is just an amazing thing. I thought they said it best last night. He should never, I wonder if David Freese has ever bought a beer in St. Louis, and I don't think Pat Maroon will ever buy one again.
No, those days of buying your own beer are over here in St. Louis for those two gentlemen.
Well, let's get to some Cardinal action. I mean, we went through a really nice stretch there where we found ourselves sitting in first place, and now things have kind of plateaued and stagnated a little bit, and we find ourselves in a little bit of a rut here. Thought we got back on track Monday, and then last night rolls around and Dakota Hudson falls to the Bryce Harper-ness of it all and sends us reeling. Your thoughts on the current state of the Cardinals?
Yeah, it's been a rough stretch. One thing a couple episodes back I said is I believe that this offense will go, everyone thinks it's Carpenter and Goldschmidt, and I'll say it and we'll see how it all pans out in a couple months. But to me, it's Ozuna and DeJong. If Ozuna and DeJong are hitting, then the Cardinals are going to win. And if they aren't, then they're probably not going to win. And, obviously it's kind of, when you take out the names, you just say you're 3-4 hitters. If they're not hitting, you're not going to win. I mean, that's an obvious statement. But I just think with those two in particular, that because of the type of hitters they are, where they have a tendency to be kind of streaky, Paul DeJong seems like he's just settled in now. It doesn't even seem like he's streaky anymore. But because of that type of hitter, this ebb and flow I kind of expected. I didn't get to watch the game last night, obviously. I was fortunate enough to be at the Enterprise Center for the Blues game. I would like to comment on Dakota Hudson. I wish I could. I mean, you know where I stand on that. A couple weeks ago when we were talking about that, I just think that there might be a better rotation option within the organization that I'd like to see them pursue. But other than that, I don't have much. I think we're just in kind of one of those valleys in the season. We'll see how they do today. When you look at it in the last five games, they've won one. But then if they win today, you're saying, well, they just swept, or they just took, they just took the series from Philadelphia. Entering, an important weekend, and it's a weird thing, and I'm not really reactionary towards it. I want to see how things play. I want to see how things pan out. And in the meantime, hope they win today.
Yeah, for me, as I look at it, and I try to, decide, what's important to me at the moment, I guess, right? I would say that we do a what have you done for me lately? Whereas, you just brought up a great point, in my opinion, of, if we were to win today, then we won the series, right? And I think that's how you have to look at it. Now, the issue becomes, well, not only did we lose a series of the Cubs, we got swept, which stinks, right? Yeah. Like, it's one thing to lose a series and go down 1-2. It's another thing to go 0-3, because it's like everything in life, right? You gotta even it back out if you want to maintain that style of play. Now, a 666 winning percentage would be pretty strong at the end of the year. So, you have your give and take there. That being said, I tend to agree with you on the Ozuna thing with the whole group as I look at it, only because if you ask me, you can get a lot out of the middle of the order, even if your top two hitters are a little weak. And we know what that means, right? Power. You can cure a lot of ills with a couple two-run homers or with a solo shot to at least get an immediate run on the board, things like that, right? It cures a lot of ills when that happens. And that's the give and take of the home run, right? Like, people like to be frustrated and, I try to hit all these home runs. And it's like, well, there's a reason why the analytical people are concerned with slugging percentage and it being as important as it is to them. So, I don't know. So I tend to agree with you. And let's face it, Paul DeJong's been awfully good. Marcell Ozuna, for the most part, has been awful good. Now, he scuffles for a couple games, and there you are. So it kind of works that way, I guess, both ways.
Yeah. Yeah, the Cubs series, it was bad. to go to Chicago, get swept by the Cubs, it's hard to not feel the pain a little extra. You know, it's hard. It feels like more when you go to Chicago and get swept early on, especially, you know, once you've gained some momentum. You know, you were 9 or 10 games over 500 for the first time, you know, since August of last year or whatever it was, you know, well ahead of your pace, a win pace from what you were 1 year ago. And then, you know, your world kind of comes crashing down, especially when you drop that Sunday night clunker. And then, you know, you split the first two against Philadelphia. I just think that, like, they're fine. I don't think they're overachieving right now. I don't think they're underachieving. I think they're just fine. I think they're working through some things, and I think they're trying to figure some stuff out. And they're a good team. They're a good team. And honestly, I think that they're better than I thought they were. And sometimes that comes with extra wins, and sometimes it comes with the same amount of wins. But I still feel more comfortable with this team, even after a weekend sweep by the Cubs in Wrigley, than I did at any point during last year other than August of last year.
Well, and I was going to ask you, so if you look at this team, is there – I guess, is there anything that you're looking at already ahead, like going, okay, I can see that this is going to need to be addressed.
Yeah.
You know, just stuff like that. Like, is there anything you're looking at going, this is going to have to be addressed? Like you've kind of mentioned,
yeah.
You've kind of mentioned Dakota Hudson being an issue for you. I mean, not something you're standing on a soapbox screaming about, but you think it's an issue.
I love Dakota Hudson out of the bullpen. I love him in that role. I think he can maximize against lefties in that situation where his velocity ticks up a little bit. The movement on his breaking pitches change a little bit. You know, the two areas for me, and I guess one of the things that sometimes gets lost in a blowout is how important a blowout can be about finding some things out about your team, especially when one of the members of your current bullpen is coming off of a season that was lost last year and had to rehab, like Luke Gregerson. You know, Luke Gregerson had a bit of a rough go last night.
I think he's done. Sorry.
So that's my point is, you know, in previous years, if Luke Gregerson, he's coming into a close game, and we talked about my feeling about Mike Mussini as a manager of the bullpen and stuff like that. In the past, like, Luke Gregerson would have came in a somewhat close game, a 2-run game, a 3-run game, because a lot of the times the Cardinals weren't involved in a blowout one way or the other. It never felt like the Cardinals were ever in a blowout over the last couple of years.
Yep.
So the one positive, you know, if you're trying to shine that turd, is that they got Luke Gregerson in there and you saw a little something. And also because he wasn't necessarily particularly good, you know that he's not probably going to get another chance in the immediate future in a close game. So that's a positive. He's still going to get another chance. He'll probably get another chance after that, more than likely, no matter how it goes. But, like, there are positives there. So as we look to the future, the two things that are important for me is that they are aggressive about how they handle the starting rotation. Same stuff we talked about just a couple of weeks ago. I think they need to be aggressive about Mr. Dakota Hudson's spot with Ryan Helsley. Start there. And then, you know, you get Gregerson out of the bullpen, you move Hudson back there, and everything's stronger. And then you have Carlos Martinez coming back. And at first, it was reported that Carlos Martinez was going to pitch out of the bullpen. He's pitching out of the bullpen during his minor league rehab start. But, you know, when Mr. Martinez was asked, he said he's trying to build to become a starter by the All-Star break, or after the All-Star break, or right before the All-Star break, or whatever it is. To me, those are two big keys. Just making the starting rotation better, whether that means Hudson being removed and Helsley finding his way in there as a temporary placeholder for Carlos Martinez or whoever else might get hurt and Carlos Martinez can slide in, or, you know, and at the same time strengthening the bullpen by moving Hudson back there. I think those are two key moves that would really enhance some things, and that's something that the Cardinals should remain open-minded about, especially in the near future, but definitely in the coming weeks. And even off of that, like, if you're not going to use Carlos Martinez as a starter, and if you're not going to, like, that's not going to be an option, then it's probably time to start looking in a different organization for a pitcher of that caliber. You know, they need that. I think they need that. I believe I'm one of the rare people. I believe that Ryan Helsley can provide that in the immediate future. And I think that Carlos Martinez still has that potential. But even if he doesn't, even if it's true that he's not going to throw 100% and all that stuff and blah, 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 then it probably is time to start looking for a starting alternative.
Yeah. Are you pretty, like, the streakiness is something when it comes to hitting, though, that I think we've all come to accept from all hitters around baseball. I mean, you know, what makes a great player great typically is they're not as streaky as other guys, right? Like, that's what separates the greats from the goods, right? In my opinion. I mean, I think you could look back over time and, you know, there were guys that wound up with really, really good careers that were streaky hitters. I think Jim Edmonds may have fallen into that category. And maybe that streakiness is the ultimate thing that kept him out of the Hall of Fame for the time being, right?
Yeah.
You know, what made Albert Pujols great? You never really, like, he had a, you know, he would have an off week or two occasionally, like everybody else would have. It's just, it rarely happened, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It always felt like he was hitting, like, his off week was like hitting 230. Where
right.
Other people have off weeks and they hit like 80.
So, you know, and then, you know, you can go down the list of the great players. And again, I don't have 1 ounce of data to prove this. It just seems to me like the players that you see that are typically referred to as great, you know, they don't seem to be the way. And if you're a box score watcher or if you're involved in any fantasy league, it's the same guys all the time that you always feel like they're relentless when it comes to that shit. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like every time you look in there, Mike Trout has got a hit or he's got two hits. And God forbid he goes 0 for one day because then he gets two hits the next. You know, that's what it is. Yeah. Mookie Betts is that way. There's been guys in recent years that have been like that. But streakiness, like when we get upset at a guy, like a Marcelo Ozuna, if he goes hot or cold, or even a Matt Carpenter to some degree, most every player lives that way. Now, some players, like Carpenter's kind of been, the way his seasons have went the last year and a half for sure, it almost seems like it's feast or famine for him, right?
Yeah.
It's felt that way a little bit in our short term with Goldschmidt, and, you know, and it kind of feels that way with Ozuna, but I think that's just the nature of this beast. And we can ride that roller coaster and we can freak out or we can do whatever, or we can choose to just embrace the overallness. And I think what you said was awesome for me. And that was, today, if we win a series, so why are we freaking out?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think that a lot of that has to do with just spiraling off of what happened in Wrigley. You know, funny thing about Matt Carpenter. So all the things you learn when you're not scouting players at the minor league level, but when you're watching minor league baseball, when players first go, when the Dominican born players, when the Caribbean born players, when they first find their way to a full season affiliate, this is the first time that they're usually playing. If they're playing in Palm Beach, that's one thing, but if they're playing in Peoria, it's the first time that they've ever dealt with like playing baseball in cold weather. And they all struggle. It never ceases to amaze me that every, you know, Caribbean-born player struggles while it's cold. Pitchers in particular. It's almost like clockwork. You can count on it. And Matt Carpenter said something earlier in the week where he said, yeah, you know, I usually start getting hot when it gets hot outside, when it starts warming up. And it dawns on me that Matt Carpenter has become a Dominican-born player. He is a Caribbean League player who is at the beginning, at the middle of the, or he was at the top of the Cardinals lineup. And it's true, and we're starting to see it this week. You know, he's getting hot. He's starting to get hot. He's starting to put together better at bats. He's not thrown off by the slider cutter that he was earlier on in the season. Like, he's starting to come out of it just a little bit, and that's a really interesting thing to me. And, you know, also maybe even proves my point that as Matt Carpenter starts to come out of it and Marcelo Ozuna kind of gets, you know, goes in that direction, and it's like, sure, Carpenter's good and he can push the team and, you know, he's an elite talent when he's on, but if the middle of your order there isn't hitting, you're still going to lose. So it's really, really interesting.
You know, for me, I would say I'm willing right now to, like, I'm happy. Like, if you were to ask me overall, I'm happy with where we're at. Because I still feel like, I think we saw a good stretch of baseball, right? Where when we jumped up to that 10 game mark, right? I feel like we saw a good stretch there. I think we're capable of that because I still think there were some things going on even in that stretch that wasn't being fired on all cylinders. Now, when you get a guy that starts getting hot and, you know, like we look at like what Paul DeJong's done, but you cannot go unnoticed what a couple of guys, like you can't just act like Marcelo Ozuna wasn't crazy hot right there. I mean, like,
yeah.
hitting balls out of the park like it was nothing. You can't ignore the how good DeJong's been all year. You can't ignore the lift when they decided to say we're going to play Martinez every day. And you can't deny the great, like the just tremendous play of Dexter Fowler at the plate. You can't. And then you get from Yachty what you expect to get from Yachty. So you add all those things up, and then you start looking at it, and you go, you know, if I was really going to complain about anything, it would be Matt Carpenter and Paul Goldschmidt. Well, if that's what you're going to complain about, then I still feel like there's a long way to go here, and I think we're going to be fine. And to your point, if the Dakota Hudson thing and the Luke Gregerson thing are really our only two issues down there, I kind of like where we're at, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and, you know, they've been healthy. I think, you know, other than Carlos Martinez, of course, relatively speaking, they've been extremely healthy. And health is luck. You know, to me, if you've been healthy in baseball, that means you've been pretty lucky so far. So, you know, and it is interesting, as you bring up Dexter Fowler, who I just completely gloss over all of the time now, which is probably a good thing, really. But they haven't really been the same since he came down with the flu. And, you know, that's I guess I bring that up because maybe him as like a fire starter ends up really stoking the team. And maybe that's something worth keeping an eye on. And obviously it's just, you know, quick speculation more than anything. But yeah, you're right. A lot of everything hitting on the right cylinder for a 10 game stretch or whatever that, you know, shows you how good they are capable of being when everything is moving right.
Well, and that's kind of like I said, that was my whole view on it. And when you start saying this is the problem or this could be a problem, or if that's what it is, well, then, you know, I feel like that's manageable. It doesn't feel like we're four players away. Does that make sense?
No, not at all.
You know, which I felt that way in the last couple of years. You know, yeah. It was like, well, not only do we need this, but then we need this. And then that's on the field. Now let's go talk about the bullpen. You know what I mean? I don't really feel that way now. If my biggest problems in that bullpen are Tyler Webb and Luke Gregerson, those feel like a couple of interchangeable guys to me. I mean, that's how I feel anyway.
Yeah, and the potential for opportunity created elsewhere. You know, sometimes it's not necessarily the worst thing to bring somebody on who might have a short leash just for that reason. You know, you want them to do as well as possible, but if they don't do well, it gives you a chance to replace them with something that isn't permanent. And it's always good to have pieces like that. Like that's not always a bad thing.
Let me ask you a question. Last question before we go. You've, like I said, not to harp on it, but you've brought up Dakota Hudson numerous times. You know, that's who I wanted. I felt like he earned that job out of spring training. I don't think there's any denying that. I think he earned that job out of spring training. That being said, and he's pitched, you know, he's had a couple outings that were okay. He's had some other outings not so good. So my question to you is this. If we do something there, is that a chain reaction thing through the thing that you think is makes us a better team? And what I mean by that, if he goes to the bullpen, then what do you do? Do you bring up one of the guys from Memphis? Do you sign a Dallas Keuchel? Now, from what we hear out of that camp, the reason Dallas Keuchel's not pitching somewhere right now is he refuses to back off what he thinks he's worth. According to him, if it was Scott Boras' decision, he'd be pitching somewhere already. But he refuses to take less than what he thinks he's worth. With this team, I think I would love that if you could get him to do something, but it sounds like he won't. Now, we'll see what happens after, what is it, June? Is it June 1st?
June 4th is the draft.
Yeah, so he is no longer attached to a draft pick. So, you know, that being said, we'll see what happens there. But for the most part, you know, what would you do? If you're going to do something with Hudson, what are you going to do?
Yeah, like I said, for me, step one is I always say Helsley because I'm a big Helsley guy. I think he's capable of it. But I think more than likely the direction the Cardinals would go in is Daniel Ponce de Leon. I'd start there. And maybe you get another start out of Ponce de Leon, a couple starts out of Ponce de Leon that yet received in the past. Maybe Helsley ends up being the pitcher that I know he's capable of being, and then you don't have to worry about Keuchel. But as long as Keuchel is a free agent, there's always a pivot opportunity. But I'd like to see the Cardinals go Helsley or Ponce de Leon and figure it out from there. I think that's where I'm at right now.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. So I guess for the record, you know, if it's Freeze versus Maroon, you're going Freeze right now. I mean, Maroon's story's not written completely yet, but for the moment, while very cool, while great story, you're still Freeze versus Maroon. You're in the Freeze camp.
Yeah, if we're talking about moments, but if we're talking about like who we're going to get into a bar fight with, or who's going to be on your side for a bar fight, I'm going Pat Maroon all day, every day.
That's good. Hey, that's probably a good choice. A good choice. All right, my friend, I'll plan on chatting with you next week, and let's get a win today and win that series. I think that's important.
Yeah, man, let's do it. Big day for the Cardinals today, I think.
All right, my friend, I appreciate you. Great stuff as always. And again, where can our listeners follow you?
I'm on Twitter. You can find me at KYLER416. I do this thing called Prospects After Dark. You can find it through my Twitter account, and it's through Periscope too. Prospects After Dark, we're actually going to do tonight, probably 8:15. It's just a nonsensical show of fun and baseball talk, and really we talk about anything. So that'll be tonight, luckily, by 8:15. Check it out. And I write for Birds on the Black. I was going to update my Dirty 35 this weekend, but I had some more troubles with MILB TV that prevented me from doing what I needed to do with their platform. And so I have to keep pushing that back, and hopefully this weekend I could spend a little more time than I have scouting this coming draft, and we can have a little draft prep for the Birds on the Black readers and you guys if you're interested. And as we were less than one month away from the amateur draft to Major League Baseball. So a lot going on, a lot of prep, a lot of stuff, and stay tuned.
All right, my friend, I appreciate you very much, and I look forward to chatting with you next week.
Thank you, Jim. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, the one, the only, Kyle Reese. And again, absolutely love my conversations with him. I know you do as well, and I highly encourage you to follow him on social media. He's a great follow, a lot of fun, and a real exciting Cardinals fan, just a St. Louis fan in general that loves to have a good time with it all. And I knew he would enjoy this conversation today. All right, time to move it along now. And as we do each and every week, we want to highlight one of our partners and bringing you the great Moe's Algorithm would be our good friends at Adam Smokehouse. Excited about heading to Adam Smokehouse tomorrow with my good friend Benji Molina for lunch, as he will get in town tonight. And we are going to get some of the best barbecue in St. Louis, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. If you've got an office setting or a crew or just whatever you need, if you want to order box lunches, they can do that for you. And, of course, if you have a catering need, they can take care of that for you as well. But in the end, Adam Smokehouse is, in my opinion, the best barbecue in St. Louis. And I surely hope for all of our friends that come in town to see the Cardinals or the Blues, as it may be. If you're in town, take the time to stop by before the game. Catch some Adam Smokehouse. You won't be disappointed. Our good friend Mike and his staff do a tremendous job. And so we want to remind everybody that when it comes to Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis, here's your cue. All right, let's welcome in my friend and yours, who's always got a great opinion. Not saying he's always right, but boy, it sure seems like he is a lot. So on a cool topic like this, let's get him rolling. The one, the only, Moe's Algorithm. What's going on, pal?
Hey, Jim. How are you doing?
Well, you had a comical text back to me last night as I sent this thought out. And, you know, listen, I was trying to have some fun with this, but the reality of it is my question of, you know, Freeze versus Maroon. And so let's put it in context of the whole St. Louis kid in the backyard, and then he actually does something. But I'm not trying to compare the World Series to the second round of the playoffs, but a big moment for St. Louis sports nonetheless, and a couple of hometown kids.
Yeah, it was great. It was really cool to see. When you asked that question, though, I was like, I mean, I could see a situation where it would be even closer in terms of which was better. Maybe if they had shootouts in the playoffs and like the Blues were down one in their final shot and Maroon hits the game tire and then the shootout goes so long that he comes up again and bangs it home to win it. That I could see and be like, oh, that's pretty close to Freeze. But in the situation that he had last night, it's not Freeze. Not quite. Still pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, a great moment, and I thought I'd just have some fun with it because of the closeness in the scenarios. And it's great, you know, and especially after the Blues get it, or not the Blues, the Cardinals lose a game like they did last night. It's always nice to go back in history and remember some great moments in Cardinal history. And, of course, you know, I've been fortunate enough to see some great games, just like a lot of our listeners. I've got some great memories. Some of the stuff is absolutely amazing. But the reality of it is the David Freeze moment, you know, that and – Carpenter the next night. And I mean, just a couple of those things are things that'll, you know, the Pujols three home run game. Those are things that will never go away for me. And they're huge moments, and they just, to live through them and let them impact my life like that. And my fandom was amazing. So being a lifelong Blues fan, that's why last night to me was amazing. So thought it was great. I couldn't be happier for both those guys, really, to live out truly what is a dream for them. Now, I do say, too, the Pat Maroon thing's not over, okay? He still has a chance to do something amazing here as a hometown kid. So good for him and good for everybody involved. So, all right, so I got you. Your team freeze, too, just like Kyle was. That's okay. Okay, so let's move on to the Cardinals. I was going to say, I was curious because you called it like you saw it and said, let's get home. Okay, so then we head back out on the road and things don't go so well. I'm with Kyle. If we find a way to win today, we win this series and we just keep moving on, right? But, are you seeing a couple chinks in the armor here, or is it just, well, you know, everybody, you know, everybody plays bad for a few games. It's life.
I would say it's typical ebb and flow of a baseball season. Like they had won, I don't know, 11 of 12 or something when they went into Chicago, and they just kind of ran into another hot team who happened to take advantage of that. I thought they played like utter garbage most of the weekend. And still should have probably won Saturday. It is what it is there. I hate when the Cardinals play the Cubs because it just seems to never go our way anymore. But last night was kind of inexcusable. That's two pathetic blowouts in a matter of 3 days, and they just can't keep playing like that. Their pitching needs some help, and I don't know where to start because it seems like the rotation has some chinks in it, and it also seems like the bullpen has some issues as well. You can't get absolutely demolished two out of three games, especially coming off a game Saturday where you had a 5-1 lead and couldn't hang on to it for more than about 10 minutes. So it's not great right now in the last five games with St. Louis, but I think they'll be okay. I think, we saw who they were over the first month, and, you know, you're not going to win, you know, you're not going to play 900 ball the rest of the season. So,
well,
happens this thing against the Cubs, but.
Yeah, I mean, are we as bent out of shape if it's somebody other than the Cubs?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think if you lose, if you get swept by, you know, I don't know, because they would, I don't want to say it. Like the Brewers, well, I don't know, because everyone threw a temper tantrum when they got swept by the Brewers. So I don't know. Well, maybe if they get swept by the Mets, it doesn't mean as much. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, people, like, listen, I'm not going to deny the fact that, you know, when you feel like somebody has taken away your I'm not going to deny when somebody has taken away your, what's the word, when your spot. I mean, you know, you felt like the class of the division for a while, right? And then, you know, the Cubs kind of, so to speak, kind of take it away from you. And then here come the Brewers too. And, you know, for years you felt like the Brewers weren't a team that you had to worry about. And, you know, and the Cubs even same way, you know, there were, you know, I think we had some issues with other teams at times if when they were good, but boy, we always seem to be consistently right there. And then it feels like, you know, somebody else came and took your ball from you, right? Like the kid at the playground. So, you know, there's probably a little bit of that. I mean, I'd have to believe, as you probably do, with the whole Milwaukee thing as well.
Yeah, I think the Milwaukee thing's kind of new. It's more of a, hey, where the hell did you guys come from? Like, this isn't like this. We have to deal with this crap from the Cubs, not you too. But the Cubs thing is starting to really burn people because this is what, the fifth year, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. This is the fifth year now that we, it's starting to become, you know, more than a trend where it just seems like they just do not play well against that team. And I hate anecdotal evidence because, you know, it all depends on when you're playing a team and whatnot. But, man, it doesn't seem to matter when they're playing them. They just don't play them very well. They just play poor baseball. They don't play defense well. Both, you know, some days they can't hit at all. Their pitching looks like a disaster when they play them. Like, I felt great Friday with Jack Flaherty on the mound. Like, I'm going, Quintana and Flaherty, like I feel, or it was Hendricks, but I'm like, Flaherty, no problem. I think we win this game. We might not win the next two. But, man, their offense was just awful. And it's like, you got to get clicking on all cylinders against the Cubs.
Yeah. Now, you have to correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't we beat the Cubs last year in the series?
I think it was like 10-9.
Oh, so it's close.
It doesn't feel, you know what I mean? The year before that, it was like 14-5 in favor of the Cubs. So, like, you know, a 10-9 year isn't going to make you feel any better when you're coming off a 5-14 year. So, I mean, they just haven't played well. And even in their wins against them, they just don't look sharp, you know. They play other teams like the Pirates and stuff. You're like, oh, they look good, you know. They look like the better team. But they just, when they take the field with the Cubs, it just never looks like they're the better team. And what's crazy to me is the Cubs play so well against the Cardinals, and then they play like crap against the Florida or the Miami Marlins the last 2 days. And it's like, man, what is it about the Cubs that gets this team off their game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, are they answering the bell, so to speak? I mean, I don't know. I mean, is that what it is? Is it a, you know, is it the Rizzo thing, the Javier Baez, the I don't really care what you think about me thing? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought part of it was kind of a Matheny thing. I felt like the Cubs were kind of in Matheny's head. He made some very poor choices a lot of times when they played the Cubs, but so far it doesn't look like Schilt's any more comfortable playing them. So I'm not sure. I certainly don't think the Cubs are that much better than they looked than the Cardinals. But we'll see when we saw them play poorly in Milwaukee and then the tides turned in Bush. So let's, before we all hit the super panic button, let's just see maybe how the Cubs play when they come to Bush.
Well, I was going to say, we're at home, obviously, playing against Philadelphia, which is an interesting situation in itself. That, to me, would scream what? Win a series, right? And then, yeah, you know, keep trying to win series, play well, play better, keep it rolling until we get the Cubs in town here. And then, again, let's try to turn those tables a little bit and roll the other way. So is there a recipe for this? I don't know. I mean, I know it's real easy, like you said, and I want to say the same thing. You know, are we playing hard enough, or is there something we're missing here? Maybe, you know, maybe it's just, you know, maybe they are in their head. I don't know. I mean, I don't have an explanation for it.
Yeah, I really don't either. And I was pretty disappointed because I was feeling really good Saturday when they jumped up 5-1. I'm like, all right, cool. They should win today, and then tomorrow we'll get the rubber match on Sunday Night Baseball. And like I said, they hung on to that lead for about 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah, I can look at the whole thing and say, well, you know, we'll see what tomorrow brings. But if you're, you know, I like Jack Flaherty on the mound today for us. I know right now as we do the show, we're in the top of the third inning at 0-0. Nobody's hitting to this point. But, you know, their starting pitching has been better, I think, than most people thought it would be for Philadelphia. So I guess we'll just see what happens. I mean, who doesn't want to have good starting pitching, right?
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, you know, when you talk about Jack Flaherty, is it's like, you know, he needs to be, and I don't want to put, I get he's young, but like, look, he's the only real, like, we're going to win that game. When you look at the week, you're like, all right, where are we going to win? And the only time, and this isn't a lack of confidence in Michaelis, it's just he doesn't have the ace that I look at. Like, he's very good. I love him. He's doing well. But I want that ace, and I think Jack is that ace. And so when I look at the week, I go, all right, we can win that game. And that's what I felt about Friday when he pitched against the Cubs, and then they didn't do it because they didn't hit. They need. And I think they need one more guy like that where you're like, all right, we win that game. Like, we're going to win that game. Because I don't feel real great about the other rotation, the other guys in the rotation right now. I don't feel great when Adam Wainwright takes the mound. Yes, he's pitched well. I don't want to take that away from him. But I feel like the other shoe's going to drop. And Dakota Hudson is a complete and utter disaster, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think most of us here now are in agreement that we may be better off with him in the bullpen.
and
or in Memphis, that works too for me.
Well, I know you're never shy about letting us know where you're at. So, well, listen, we'll see how she goes. We'll hopefully pull this thing out today, win a series, and then move forward from there. And you know, I shouldn't have, you know, and as I say something, the first hit of the game goes to the Phillies. You know, leadoff hit. So, you know, here we go. I should just shut my mouth. But anyway, great stuff as always, my friend. For all of our listeners out there who love your takes and want to follow you, how can they do so?
On Facebook at Moz Algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ_algorithm.
Well, great stuff as always. And I know we'll have a conversation next week. Hopefully we're in the midst of an upturn next week and we see ourselves back on top of the standings.
All right, I'll see you then.
Great stuff as always. That's my friend and yours, Moz Algorithm, who does a great job as he tells it like it is and gives you some comments with a little bit of thought behind it and a little bit of analytics. So appreciate him very much taking time out of his day to join us, and it's a lot of fun as well. Well, we'll move on now to our next cohort in crime, so to speak, the great Brendan Schaefer. And as I always say, we couldn't do this show without our partners. Our latest partner I want to tell you about is GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. They do so much for all of us here at the show, just in their support and helping us grow our community. And we are happy to be associated with them as well because, you know, they care about the kids and off the field as much as they do on the field. And guys, I got to tell you, That's something that we got to start thinking about when we're building these quote-unquote baseball players. A lot of them will play the game and enjoy the game, but don't we really care about what kind of people they are? So the great part of baseball is the life lessons that you can learn through it, and it's important to them, and it means something to me. It should mean something to you. That's all of our friends over at Gators Baseball Academy, home of their four-pillar system. To learn more, go to GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, located in Missouri and now expanding over to Illinois, where you'll find the Illinois Gators and, of course, their prep program, the Gators Baseball Academy. Check them out and see if you can find something that will help your son or daughter today. Don't want to forget my new friend, Dr. Christian Jacobs, that was on the show the other day. If you haven't heard the show the other day that I did typically do on Mondays with Benji Molina, you know, we did our typical show, but then Dr. Christian Jacobs, a local doc, came in. She owns the Ulala Spa here in Edwardsville, which when you hear spa, you typically think of, oh, it's a spa. I'm gonna go get a massage or get something done to my face or something done. Yes, they do stuff like that. But she's also a huge advocate for skin cancer awareness, and May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month. She also has to live with a Cubs fan in her house, so she's got a house divided. So we had a great conversation about what it's like to live in a house divided, and I think they got it figured out and probably a good way to deal with it, but I don't know that I could do that. But she's found a way to live in harmony with her husband and older son while she and her younger son maintain their loyalty to the Cardinals. So it's an interesting situation, but we do appreciate her coming on, letting her tell a little bit about who she is and what she does at Ulala Spa, along with her own story of dealing with skin cancer and how you should be more aware of what's going on. There's a lot of myths. There's a lot of, I'll deal with it later. There's a lot of heads buried in the sand over it. You got to take time to learn stuff about this, and she's out here advocating for it. And then there's all kinds of other things that you may want to do for yourself as a person to feel better about yourself, and you can do all that at Ulala Spa. We would ask you to check them out. And if you want to remember, it's not just for women. I know everybody thinks that, but there's a lot of men out there who want to do things and feel better about themselves as well. Some things just need to get taken care of, and they do that too. So again, check them out. I think you guys would enjoy what she has to say. That show, she really, really talks about some of the things that go on with skin cancer and how we can all be a little more diligent about how we take care of our skin. So great stuff from Dr. Kristen Jacobs. We thank her so much for her newest and will be continued support of our show here. So as we do that, let's welcome in another guy with another opinion, and I'm curious to get his thoughts on this one. As he was following along, as he was down in Texas and checking out some of the Blues games in Dallas, let's welcome in my friend and yours, Brendan Schaefer. What do you say, Brendan?
Well, hello, Jim. How are we doing today?
Well, a little tired, but a good tired. I think any time you get a game winner in a game seven and double overtime, especially after about seven heart attacks, I think you got to feel good to be alive. So I feel good to be alive as a Blues fan, as a St. Louis sports fan. I wish my Cardinals, had won a couple games over the weekend, and
hopefully we can get one today and win a series. But for the most part, it's good to be a fan. You know, the Cardinals are still right there, so it's good, right?
Yeah, man. I don't know that humans are built to watch the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, this is, I don't know how we can do like another month of this if the Blues keep it going. But that was something special, man. That was unbelievable. And for Patrick Maroon to be the guy to do it after we thought the storyline early in that game was that he had tipped in the Vince Dunn goal in the hometown kid scoring in Game 7. But that wasn't his goal. But he had something a little bit more in store for us later that night. So how special and cool was that? Really awesome to see.
Well, I asked the fun question, and I feel like I got to keep reiterating it's for fun, so everybody relax. But I asked the fun question, you know, Team Freeze or Team Maroon, both a couple of great accomplishments by some local athletes, by some guys growing up in town and then being able to perform for their team under a huge situation.
Yeah, for now it's still David Freeze.
Sure,
that could change though. Let's say it could become more of a conversation, because I think if the Blues were to win the Stanley Cup this year, for the first time in the franchise's history, for the first time in St. Louis's history, to claim that crown that has never been claimed before, I think everything that goes into that and all the accomplishments that leads up to that are going to be all the more special. Obviously, Freeze is happening in the World Series in Game 6. It's hard to top, but when you think about the fact that the Cardinals had been around that block before and the Blues had never done it, I think if the Blues end up winning it all, we're certainly going to have some more moments like what Maroon did last night in that process if it were to take place. But certainly that would take on a little bit stronger of a meaning to remember that was part of the journey that got him there. So, yeah, I think it's still Freeze for now, but certainly a conversation to be had if the Blues keep advancing.
Yeah, I'm excited about the Blues and their playoffs and hopeful for where they're going to go, in my opinion. And we'll see what happens. But for the Cardinals, this is definitely a marathon, not a sprint for the St. Louis Cardinals. Last time we spoke, we were talking about how smart Mo's algorithm was as he said, hey, let's just get home. He looked like the smartest man on the planet. Well, then the Cardinals hit the road and head to Chicago and things didn't go so well. I'm trying to be pragmatic about it, not be ignorant about it, but man, I hate losing to the damn Cubs.
Yeah, there's something about going up to Wrigley lately, it seems like, and the Cubs just have their way with the Cardinals. It seems like they're hitting at least a grand slam every series of Wrigley Field. I haven't checked that, but it seems right?
Funny.
Like,
yeah.
Just thinking back over the last few years, the Cubs, something about that atmosphere, and they've got a good team now. It's not like it was, for times in the mid-2000s or whatever. They've got a good team, and they're competitive, and the rivalry is real. And so, yeah, the Cardinals have got to find a way to play better against the Cubs in general, which I think will come similar to the way they did it with the Brewers. But you got to do a little more on the road, I think, against these top teams in your division, because it's going to come down to the wire in this division, I think, between the three teams. And you're going to want every game that you can possibly have. You'd hate to think that games in May and Wrigley, like writing off a series in Wrigley as a sweep instead of maybe grabbing at least one of those games can be the difference between making the division title or a wild card, or it could be the difference between a wild card and not making it at all. So we'd like to see them do a little better. They're going to have their chance. They're coming up back to Wrigley early June. They'll see the Cubs at Bush Stadium before that takes place. But yeah, you'd like to see them do a little bit better in those games against the divisional rivals that you expect to be right there with you at the finish.
Yeah, it's it's an interesting thing. I mean, I'm trying to look at this and just have that feeling of, okay, let's move on. It's a long season, but man, it just sticks in my craw almost because it's the Cubs. Maybe if it was somebody else, but I thought Mo brought it up too. It's not just them. It's the Brewers, same thing. And it's like, because I think we're aware, I think we're all aware now that, we don't sit atop this thing easily anymore. There's other countries being heard from here, so to speak. And I think we're all painfully aware of it as fans because of the last 3 years. So there's a feeling inside of me, and I think a lot of people, of, hey, you know, we're going to have to try to figure this thing out and try to feel some sort or establish, I guess, some sort of dominance over the people that we're trying to pass, so to speak, I guess.
And if not dominance, you certainly can't, you know, get your butts beat by them all the time. Like, you've got to, at the very least, play 500 baseball against the Cubs and Brewers, in my opinion, to be able to get to where you want to go this season. And look, it's great to beat up on everybody else. It's great to beat up on everybody at home the way, for the most part, the Cardinals have done this season. But I would agree. Like, those games are too big of a swing when you know that winning one means the other team lost one, and you basically gained two games in the standings, and you can guarantee that you are having that effect on the other team. Like, it's something you got to take advantage of when you play those guys like 36 times throughout the year. Like, those are going to be the games that you look at the end of the season and be like, you know, have we just done this or that? Things might be a little bit different. That's what the Cardinals have thought about their team the last 3 years. You don't want to be having those thoughts again come September this time around, because I think this team is better than those teams. They've got more talent. They've got more well-rounded in the way they're constructed. And so you'd hate for some of those divisional games to be what has you having sour thoughts again come the end of September.
Anything that you're seeing that you feel they need to address? Like, is there something bothering you with this team, or do you think it's still too early to start making any rash decisions?
I think we're seeing more of a sample size of what the starting rotation looks like, and I still think it'll be better, but maybe not better enough. I think maybe it's time to start considering. And look, we can talk about how Dallas Keuchel's still out there. It's been clear since February the Cardinals weren't going to do anything with that. Maybe when it comes to July and he's still out there, they think, okay, we can get a guy for the stretch run, whatever. But I think in general they need to look a little bit toward that market, and especially now that we know that Carlos Martinez is not going to be part of the rotation. We know that Alex Reyes, to this point, has not panned out the way you'd hoped. I think you have to look a little bit toward maybe making a move come June, July. It's not going to happen yet. Like, there's still time to work that stuff out, and teams are going to decide who they let become available. Maybe somebody like Marcus Stroman from Toronto has been rumored a little bit. But, I mean, when you look up and down the rotation, you know, Waka's got to be better. Wainwright has, you know, nobody expected a whole lot out of him, but certainly his last outing against the Cubs was not good, and that makes his season ERA look even a little bit worse. But you've even got Flaherty before today started doing okay so far, and Michaelis in the low fours in earned run average, and you don't really have any one guy that you can say, yeah, we're hanging our hat on him. We like what he's been able to do, and certainly Dakota Hudson has not been too great either, you know, giving up a lot of hits and blocks and home runs and things like that. So I think the starting pitching is, we've seen, you know, we've talked about give it 2 months before making any rash decisions, but I think that's certainly something the Cardinals have got to have their finger on the pulse of at this point, what that market could develop into. And look, to me, I don't think it's as you know, cut and dry with Carlos Martinez as, yep, he's just got to be a reliever. That's the way it's got to be. I think there are just elements of that we're never going to know exactly what is going on with that. But if that's what the Cardinals have decided, rather than wait it out and see, hey, if we can get Carlos back as a starter in July or August, maybe that's worthwhile. They're going to bring him back as a reliever now. That's fine if that's what they think they need to do. But because of that, I think that plays into the idea that got to be looking to the starting pitching market as the weeks and months kind of develop if things don't change dramatically for the positive, because I still think they've got the talent offensively to be okay. And I still think the bullpen talent is there as well. You just got to get those things clicking all at the same time. But, you know, you could definitely see the rotation being mediocre to bad. If you know, say a Jack Flaherty, God forbid, gets hurt, then where are you? Right. Because you're saying, well, Flaherty's going to bounce back. Michaelis is going to bounce back. What if those guys not only don't bounce back, but one of them gets injured? Then you're really, you know, up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. So I think that's something they've got to consider as time goes on.
Yeah, I would say, is it too early to make any changes? No, I don't know that it's ever too early to notice something that needs to be addressed. I don't care any of the situations. I think there's guys that are obviously do this for a living. I think there's guys that are better at it than we are, as good as we think we are. I think that they get paid a lot of money to say, you know what, on the surface, this looks okay, but you know, there's some underlying things. Or you could go another route and say, you know, we tried this, we're not getting out of this what we had hoped. It's causing issues here. Other things like, you know, this guy is performing better here than we thought we would. So I never say it's too early for a coaching staff or an organization to address something that they feel that they have a reason to address. You know, after the starts at this point, would I move David or I'm sorry, would I move Dakota Hudson out of the rotation? I may think about it. Only because I'm looking at our bullpen. I still think there's a couple of guys. Like I'm not comfortable at all with Luke Gregerson. I'm still not comfortable that much with Ty Webb. You know, if you were to move Dakota Hudson to the bullpen and either acquire a starter or try one of the guys from AAA there, I wouldn't argue that move at all. In fact, I would argue maybe it does need to be done. I don't know. But
yeah, I think that's not unreasonable. That's not crazy because I think it's too soon to move for a starter. I don't think they're going to do that in May, but they could do it in June or July. But with you've seen Daniel Ponce de Leon have an opportunity and has did well in that chance. So maybe he's a guy, and I like his mentality on the mound too. So maybe he's a guy that if you did give more of a permanent run to in the rotation, he could give you a spark. The only question is, I don't know what you exactly do with the relievers you want to get rid of. You and I can sit here and say, just dump the guy or DFA, whatever. But, you know, the Cardinals have a history of waiting a little bit too long to get that done, as we've seen with certain guys in the past.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, you mentioned Marcus Stroman in the trade route. You know, there's, you know, other teams too look at it that way too. Like, you know, the earlier you trade, the more they want. You know, it's like until you back them up against the deadline, and then, you know, I mentioned Dallas Keuchel earlier. Is that something that's realistic? I don't know. The Cardinals, you would have to believe, based on the way they've done everything, will look to their minor league system and try to make a move there if they think that that's what's realistic. But they're going to have to come to grips with, you know, what do we do with Luke Gregerson? Maybe, you know, do you keep him around as a blowout guy and maybe send Webb down and go with one level? I don't know. But something, I don't know that I like the idea of Dakota Hudson going all the way back to AAA, unless you want to send him back there and say, listen, get back in the rotation down there and let's figure out what's going on with your pitches. I don't know. Like I said, I think there's people a lot smarter than us that are probably looking at that going, well, here's the issue. I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, and as far as the Gregerson thing goes, it's going to end up like the Jonathan Broxton thing. They're going to have to cut ties at some point in time. You know, especially if they continue to use it and he just doesn't. I mean, I don't know what he's bringing to the table at this point. It's a signing he made that didn't work out. It is what it is. And they, especially if they think they've got better options, you know, that are being kept in the minors right now because of it or whatever, I think you've got to consider that move. Maybe it's the move they make when they reactivate Carlos Martinez, which could be coming, you know, and he probably still needs a little time to work his way back, but has been on the rehab assignment train. So, you know, it's never fun to do, but it's at certain points you got to make those decisions. Now, if they've got a Tyler Webb they can send down before that comes to that point, whatever. I don't think that there's an extra benefit to having Tyler Webb on the team just because he's a lefty if he's not getting guys out. So that doesn't matter to me. I don't think it matters to you. We've talked about in the past, just if guys aren't getting lefties out, aren't doing their job, it doesn't matter what hand they throw with. So, yeah, those decisions are definitely coming as the Cardinals look to kind of restabilize a bullpen that we had been saying was really, really good.
Yeah, we will see what happens. I'm excited to see what they do. And, you know, today would be a good start to get back on the winning ways by winning a series. So, Brennan, I appreciate your contributions to the show. I know we'll be following the Blues. I know you are as well, as are most of our listeners. And for all of you out there that said, I didn't want to hear about the Blues, I don't care about the Blues, well, you know, I know it's not Christmas, but I'll just give you a bah humbug. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, let's. It's a great day to be a St. Louis sports fan, in my opinion. So, Brennan, all of our listeners enjoy your contributions, and they like to check you out. So, where can they follow you?
Yeah, man, it's at @bschafer12 on Twitter. The Baseball STL app you can download for free. Keep up with all Cardinals related stuff as well as my stories that I write. Will go there and KMOV.com as well.
Great stuff as always. I appreciate your takes, and we'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir. Talk to you then.
All right. My man, Brendan Schaefer. And again, I just I love to get the different thoughts. I love to get the different takes and have a lot of fun with it. So hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Tried to have a little fun, just get it going with the crew a little bit and enjoy ourselves. So hope you enjoyed the conversations. I'm not quite sure what the Cardinals will do. If there is a little chink in the armor, we'll see. I think that'll play. I think we're still another, I think Dakota Hudson probably gets another start. If he is to struggle on that next start, I think that's when you may see some type of action. If he, you know, it's obvious they want him to succeed in that role. There's a reason for it. So we'll see what happens. And that's all I'll close it out by saying that. One last time, I want to thank all of our partners. We come to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. To our friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Nobody better in the business, folks. Type in InnovativeCompanies.com to learn more about Randy, his wonderful construction team, heating and cooling team, and electric team as they take care of all residential, commercial, and industrial needs that you may have. That's Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. To the Gators Baseball Academy, their Missouri Gators, the Illinois Gators, and of course the Gators Academy for all the prep players. Learn more about their four-pillar system and what they can do for your young athlete. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. To the best barbecue in St. Louis, my man Mike and his tremendous staff over at Adams Smokehouse are ready to take care of you. We'll be heading over there tomorrow at noon. Benji gets in town tonight and he's already sent me a text. Adams Smokehouse for lunch tomorrow. We will be there. Join us. Happy to have you guys come in and say hi. Adams Smokehouse, the best barbecue in St. Louis. St. Louis, here's your cue. To my good friend, Dr. Kristen Jacobs, thank you so much for coming on our show earlier in the week and helping us all become more aware of skin cancer awareness. We all could do a better job. I know I could. I know my family could, and I know I want them to. So I appreciate her and her contributions to the show. If you want to learn more about her and all the great things that she's doing, I can't tell you enough how the stuff that she does to help people that want to just feel better about themselves all the way around the board and the way they want to take care of themselves. She's tremendous. I get a lot of feedback from people on her that I've, you know, she's in our town, so I know people that have known her, and as I get to know her, they're like, she's tremendous. She's so caring. But it's KristenJacobs.com, and she spells her name KristenJacobs.com. Learn more about Ooh La La Spa and our friend, Dr. Kristen Jacobs. To all of our partners out there, thank you for your continued support. Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com. Can't say enough about our friends Linda and Vicky. Vicky, I know, is still dealing with some health issues. Let's all say a prayer for her. They do fans of Yadier Molina. And, of course, one of our favorites, I am a Cardinal fan. Yes, I am. STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals crew. Love both of those as well. Cardinal Freak. St. Louis Cardinals Nation, great ones as well. So many good ones out there, folks. I can't even remember them all, to tell you the truth. Learn more about us at twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. Check out our Two Birds bloggers. We love having those people associated with our show. Check us out on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. If you're a Cardinal fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Find it and like it. Click invite your friends. Find the pinned post. Like it, comment on it, and share it. You're eligible for some great prizes. You can also hit us up on Instagram as well. Love to have you guys follow us at Two Birds on a Bat Show there. And, of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of the newest streaming platform, Yo Radio. Download it for free on your mobile device today. For all of us here at Bow Ties and Bullshit, let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.